Going into the wilderness is something that in many First Nation cultures is a way for the youngsters to understand what it is to be a member of the tribe and to grow up and to be taught by elders. So if you take a look at the narrative, the overall narrative, and you take out all the theology and all the causality of this sort of stuff, what this was the Jewish people going on a vision quest. They had been slaves for so long that when they first went into the desert, they were Jews who were also slaves. They knew how to be slaves, but they didn't know how to be Jews who were not slaves. So I believe that the first part of the journey was a grieving of what they had left, and a healing that they needed to have about all the suffering and all the things that they left behind. And one of the things that she also talks about is that sometimes if we bring the past with us, we are almost like Lot's wife. We are got turned into salt, and the idea behind that thing is we don't use the past as something that's alive, that can teach us, that's a point of view, that's something that we can build on, but we're mineralized by it. We are just encased by it so that we can't actually move into the present. We can't really be present. So I think that one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and it had to do with, as an individual, the way that I experienced a similar kind of journey, and I think that all of us experience a similar kind of journey, is, now for me, this is just for me, I'm going to talk for myself, it was from like going to grade school into junior high school and high school. And in the beginning, let's just say all the way through junior high school, it was not good for me. I was around people that were, I got bullied, I got teased a lot, and I was there with a pretty open heart, and it was not a good experience. And the other thing is that I grew up in the 60s, and it was during the time of the Vietnam War, and it was in northeastern Ohio. And I went to college at the University of Cincinnati, and my freshman year was when Kent State happened. Well, there were protests that occurred at the University of Cincinnati, and I was part of those protests. And part of the protest was occupying the administration building. Well, 5 o'clock on a Friday morning, when we were sleeping in the entrance of the administration building, the FBI came in and woke everybody else and said, "This university is closed. You have 12 hours get off campus, to get everything and leave." So I went back home to Wadsworth, and in my walking around looking for jobs, I ran into a friend of my parents, Marion Stroud, and I talked about what it was like to be at the University of Cincinnati to protest the war, to protest the invasion of the United States into Laos and Cambodia, about how this wasn't the world that I wanted to live in, and it also was the time of Nixon when everybody was saying, "America, love it or leave it." So, at that point, Marion Stroud, what I felt at that point was that she saw me, and she heard me, and she accepted me. And the other thing that I found out, after years later, was that Marion Stroud was crossing the Kent State University campus when a young man next to her was shot by the National Guard, and he died in her arms. And she was able to listen to me and be there for me, even though that was something that she was going through. And I think community at its best can be at a time when we need, where we are seen and heard and accepted for who we are. And sometimes we need to do that, or we can do that, when we are not necessarily in the best place ourselves. It requires a willingness to be with someone and an open heart. Now, so changing subjects a little bit. At the beginning, we included this quote about Chaim. And one of the things that it says is it's a toast. It's said before a lot of things before you drink the sacred wine, and it's one of the things that I thought about. L'chaim always seemed remarkable to me that such a toast would be offered for generations by a people for whom life has not been easy. But perhaps it can only be said by such people, only those who have lost and suffered and can truly understand its power. L'chaim is a way of life, of living life. And continuing on in that quote, one of the things that they talk about is it's recognizing that life is holy. Part of it that I think is a church community, that what I hope we do is that in our encounters with the sacred, that we can come to a place and remember those and talk about those, and to remember about our connection with the sacred, so that when we go into life, we can go into life open to life and open to each other, to be willing to go into the unknown in a way that is open-hearted. And as of right now, I think that's what I have to say. Thank you.